Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the joy of beholding Jesus in the worship time. That as we've worshipped you, I want to thank you. A dynamic of transformation has already taken place through your spirit and through the truth that has been sung this morning. And Jesus, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you that you are an unending, eternal God who always, always is present in our midst as we gather together in the name of Jesus. We honor your presence. We honor you, Holy Spirit, as the one who gives revelation of Jesus. And we invite you this morning to give revelation of Jesus and his truth to our hearts so that we won't just know Jesus with our minds, because we can't really know him just with our minds, but that we'd have a renewed mind, but also a transformed heart so that we can see and understand Jesus and all that he plans for our lives. So be glorified as we sit under the anointed word of God this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, and I'm not going to repeat it, but we launched something fresh, something new. We are doing a kind of what I believe is going to be a supernatural upgrade on our understanding of God's purposes for relationships. And therefore, we have renamed our groups, our small groups, from faith groups to connect groups, because we believe that this is what God is saying to us, to actually refresh and relook at the power of connecting with God together and the world, so that we can bring the life of Jesus into our relationships as the body of Christ here, but also so that we can actually see Christ reach through us and win people to himself. And this morning, you know, I just want to start with this clear point, and that was from a slide from last week, that Jesus places a huge priority on relationships, on loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and on loving one another, loving your neighbor as yourself. And we have this slide that actually communicates that, which is not going to work again. Praise the Lord. Surely not. Ah, here we go. Way! Well done, guys. It's a bit of a pressure point up there. Bless them, because it's not easy when things aren't working, but we thank God for you. To live connected, hashtag live connected. God, us, and the world. Us, our families, but also the body of Christ, the family of Jesus Christ. Connected together so that we can connect with a lost and dying world. And if you look in your Bibles to turn to John chapter 15, the power of connection with Jesus is seen here in this analogy that Jesus uses about the vine and the branches, that Jesus says, I am the vine. I'm just going to read a few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's such a revelation that's needed for each one of us. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And we don't, as Pastor Colin always says about this verse, you don't want to know what that means, so just don't. Don't go there. So, who wants to know about the fire and the burning? Not me. I don't want to experience that, so just don't do it. That's clever, isn't it? Clever application of scripture. And Jesus then goes on to say, if you remain in me and my words remain in me, you ask whatever you wish and this will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so we see here that Jesus speaks about being a vine with branches. The church, every single believer is like a branch. The church is like a branch of the vine. And we are united through faith in Jesus Christ, through being born again into Christ Jesus. We're united in the vine. He is the source of the life. Just as a vine with roots brings the power of the life of that plant up through into the branches, so Christ himself is the life. Jesus actually said of himself, I'm the life. And here he's speaking about the real life of the Holy Spirit, the life of his word in every single one of us that we are to see flowing through each one of us. And this life source flow is to be in prayer. He talks about prayer in this, but he also speaks about having the word of God in you. My word remain in you. And you will ask whatever you desire and it will come into being for you. He's speaking about the fruit of God's word in answered prayer. Fruit of the promises. And then Jesus, you see, he starts with the, if you think about the triangle, he starts with the God relationship. Then he goes on into our relationship with one another. Verse 12, he says, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. But what we realize through this analogy is that the life of Christ through his spirit in us is to flow through us to our relationships together. And his life is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's holiness, it's righteousness, it's eternal, it's conquering life, it's delivering power, it's healing life, it's peace. It's every good thing you could ever want is in Christ. And it flows like that analogy through the vine. And his love, we are to love one another as in the same way Jesus loves us. Well, none of us can do that, which is why Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Can't do anything without Christ and his life flowing. We can only do that because we're abiding in the vine and his word is living in us and we're living in prayer and there is a flow from me to you, from you to me, so that there's life in the church of Jesus Christ, that we're all experiencing the life of Jesus through one another. So we've got the us dimension part of relationship. And then Jesus, he kind of finishes this, still partway really, through this analogy. He speaks about verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then he talks about prayer again, whatever you ask in my name, my Father will do. And then he said, this is my command that you love one another. So Jesus is speaking about our relationship with him and our relationship with one another and our mission, our purpose on earth as the body of Christ, as the branches, is to reach the world and connect the world to Christ by bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to many. And so in this simple analogy that Jesus uses, but it's profound, is this wonderful image of life flowing to us continually through connection. Life flowing in our connections, our relationships together, that is to be actually the priority on love is Jesus' priority, to love one another as he loves us. And then to continue, not to just live with God in us, but to continue, we need the third dimension in all of our lives where we are bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, sharing our faith to this world. And so this analogy, this triangle, or this connect, to live connected, is actually something that if we all build according to that pattern, we will be building the will of God. Simply doing the will of Jesus in our lives. Now, I don't have to tell you, having lived for a while on the earth, that relationships can get stale. Has anybody ever felt a little stale coming into any kind of relationship? And you'll know what I mean by that word, stale. We've all had stale bread. And we'd much rather have fresh, wouldn't we? And relationships can get same old, which is one of the problems that happens in marriages, is that people just get used to doing the routine stuff, the duties, the family life, the kids, the pickups, the shopping, the cooking, the cleaning. They're going to work, coming back from work. When are you back? What time are you coming in? What's the meal? What time's the meal? And everything just can get into a Groundhog Day experience where all we do is a repeat button on the day. And that can happen in any relationship. It can happen in church. You or I could be the same old in 20 years if we're not careful. We can get stale relationally with one another. Small groups can get like Groundhog Day, where it just is a repeat of the old. And our friendships can get stale. Our relationships can get stale. And Jesus never intended us to be united with him and stale. I don't know how you could be united with him and stale, same old, boring. We're talking about united with a living God. So, you know, there should be something very exciting about you because Christ lives in you. Not just in theory, but in a living relational reality. And so we can get very same old in our witnessing. We can just bring and wheel out our testimony from 30 years ago every time we think we've got an opportunity. Whereas actually, we should be having something fresh. A new story to tell about the goodness and the miracle working power, the answers of Jesus Christ, the amazing things that he does in our lives today. We don't just talk about past, we talk about the present. Jesus said he is present now. And therefore we have the power and the grace of God to enjoy Jesus in our days together. So stale, what is the definition of stale? It is old, past its best, out of date, moldy, and I love the word fusty. Let me just say that word, fusty. Don't get fusty in your relationships with God, each other, and witnessing to the world. Don't get moldy, irrelevant because you're out of date. Stay fresh. Another word that when I was preparing for this message God gave me was stagnant. And the definition of stagnant is water with no flow, inactive. I love this. Flat. Go on, say flat. Flat. Don't be flat. Dull. Lethargic. Can't be bothered. You know, we have a generation, don't we, that can't be bothered is often what they say. Why can you do this? Can't be bothered. Why not? Because I just can't be bothered. And don't be like that. Don't be like someone who just can't be bothered to live in these connections. And I love that stagnant, the definition is often accompanied by an unpleasant smell. A bit drainy. Do you know what I mean? A bit drainy. Imagine being a stale believer. Wherever you go, it's often accompanied by an unpleasant smell. We are to be the fragrance of Jesus, not a pretty awful staleness that stinks. And it can be the same in our relationships with each other. We can be stale and stagnant and same old. Your marriages can do the same thing. You can just keep going on the same direction. You can have same old. And you know, you just need to keep things fresh. And how can we keep things fresh? Well, because Jesus says, Without me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can do all things. So we can keep innovating, having new ideas. We can have fresh revelation to bring. We can bring something into the world rather than be a drain that continues to actually just smell and take. You know, I think one of my nightmare scenarios, and I too have been in a small group setting. Probably you have. Not in this church, because you're all so fresh, you bring life. But I have been in a small group where everybody says the same things again and again and again. They always pray the same prayers again and again and again. They have the same problems again and again and again. And to be honest, I would sit there going, an inner little scream. Like, is this what Jesus wants? Is this the will of Jesus? That it's just going round a mountain again and again and again. There's nothing fresh. And of course, I'm being extreme about it because, you know, we do need to pray about and pray with and agree with together people's issues and the fierce struggles that they face. We need to love one another in real ways. But you know, if we're still doing the same old prayers, it means something's not working. And usually it's faith. usually it's because, you know, you have no other purpose but yourself in life. If somebody's stuck on themselves, it's because Jesus isn't the center and his purpose for their lives. And so that needs a reorientation of someone's life back to Christ. A repentance, it's called. And, you know, because we're not the center of the world, Jesus is. Jesus is the center of his church. He's the center of everything. And he inspires. He gives something fresh. He answers prayer. He does amazing things. So we should never be in a position of stale and stagnant. But we all have experienced it. I've experienced myself being a bit same old in my relationship with the Lord at times. And sometimes, you know, you just need to get back to the life that Jesus wants us to live. And you all know the analogy about your laptop or your iPad screen. If it freezes, have you ever tried to find a connection and then suddenly it just freezes on you? And it's not moving, it's motionless, it's not doing anything. But I thank God there is something on the bar called a refresh button. You know, you press that little circle with the arrow. If you hit that button, hopefully the page will refresh and you'll have a receiving communication. You'll be able to just keep live your connection. And so I believe we need to look at the subject of refresh this morning. How to refresh our relationships with God, us, and the world. How to hit that button so that we never freeze, become stale and stagnant. Hit the refresh button. Live connected. Because as soon as you do that, you come into a connection. And we're connected with the living God, with power, with everything that we need. And so it's really not going to do anybody any harm to have a daily refresh, which is what the vine constantly does, gives life to the branch. And the branch constantly is flowing life into its leaves and into the fruit, isn't it? There's a life flow going on all the time. And may the Lord grace his body to live in that flow and to continue to press refresh on a daily basis. And the first relationship, oh, actually, let's look at the definition because this did me good, of refresh. Refresh means to give new energy. Think of your marriage, think of each other, think of the church, think of your relationship with Jesus. To give new energy. How about that? To pour in. I love that. To rejuvenate. You know, you can have a spirit that is renewed every day. Fresh every day. There are many renewals of the Holy Spirit that God wants to do in your life. In fact, as many as you come to him for. The other definition of refresh is to breathe new life into. I mean, doesn't that speak about the Holy Spirit? And the word of Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. It's like in the word and in the Holy Spirit, he just says, I'm going to breathe new life into you. Come on, breathe, Lord. I need you to breathe into me so that I can breathe out all that I need in life. And so refresh, hit that button. Now, the first in the triangle is always God. God's the priority. Jesus says, I am the vine. The only reason we're living and will stay alive is through our own personal faith connection and prayer connection with Jesus. So refresh our relationship with the Lord. You know, in I'm not going to read the reference, but in Philippians, Paul, his heart is seen here. When he says, after 30 years of knowing Christ, 30 years of knowing the Lord, Paul said, I want to know him. Can I just say that again? After 30 years of knowing Jesus, this is the Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. To have that fellowship, to have that increased knowledge, because there's no end to God. But I am so wanting. It's not just my duty, I want. Can you see that? And isn't it awful when relationships get into duty? That's when they get stale, where you go through the motions. And I mean, sometimes I think, you know, probably the best analogy is like, imagine getting married, your wedding day. You've kind of taken your vows, and it's amazing for me. I always say this to whoever is getting married as part of the church here. It's a covenant you take. It's the most important part of the day, not the worship, not all the rest. It's the covenant. People are coming in to listen to you. Make covenant before God. And God will do something supernatural. The two will become one on that day. And then you will live the rest of your lives getting to know each other. Now imagine saying, right, the deal's done. We're married. Brilliant. But no relationship. It makes no sense, does it? Marriage is about getting to know, grow in depth and love and serving and respect and honor and preferences and laying your life down and growing to really know that person and just be a blessing and seek to do them good in everyday life. That's the outworking of marriage. It's like Paul was saying about his relationship with the Lord. I didn't just come to Christ. I'm not just born again. I want to know him. Every day I want to know him. Every day I want to get to know him more. Every day I want to experience. He's a person to experience. He's not just knowledge to have in your head. He's someone to know. Isn't that amazing that you and I can be called into this relationship to know the God who made us and the God of the universe? And yet he calls us his children. And I want to know him. Every day I press a refresh button, Paul said. Every day I hit refresh. So what's coming up on my screen of my spirit, what's coming up, bubbling up from in my spirit is something live. It's living. It's active. I've had arrow time in reality, which is I've asked the Lord, I've sought the Lord, I've prayed, I put the word of God in the inside of me. I've been speaking and praying and I'm going to walk in what he says, and it's like a living screen, not just that freeze, which is stale and stagnant. Fresh. Refresh me, Lord. Every day, refresh me because I need continual refreshing in my relationship with you. So that's the most important. But the second is our relationships with one another. And there is this wonderful little book in just before Hebrews. Philemon. And it's an amazing, do you good just to read it tonight if you wanted to. But I can just see how the word refresh is working here in Paul's language. And Paul is writing this letter from a prison, from an awful place. It's not like, well, mind you, I think our prisons are pretty grotty today, but I think they were worse in Paul's day. And he's writing to a guy called Philemon. And Philemon had a meeting. The church used to meet in his house. So he was someone with obviously a hospitality gift. But Paul actually emphasizes that he was someone that Paul heard about his love for the Lord's people. Wouldn't you, this is what Paul says, I'm going to value your love for God's people. And he valued Philemon because he loved God's people. And he said, I also value you because you've got faith in Christ Jesus. And verse 7, he says here, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because, brother, you have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. What an amazing thing to say. You have refreshed. So people can bring refreshing in the church. You can bring refreshing. Now, we're not talking about, okay, refreshments are brought on at halftime. So when I used to play hockey, they used to bring an orange. I don't know why. I'd rather have had something else, a big drink or something, but this little thing of orange. They probably don't do it anymore. You just used to do that thinking, let's get back on the field. When you've done a lot of work, hard work in the garden, or you've been building something, or you do physical labor, it's nice to have your refreshments at lunch, a bit of food, something nice to drink. And Paul actually said, you not only have opened your home, you have shown acts of love by the way that you bring a spiritual refreshing to the Lord's people. You're giving them a spiritual drink. Now, that may have included a cup of tea, but he wasn't talking about cups of tea. Because that's also part of loving one another. Come into my home and I'm going to give to you. But he was speaking about bringing refreshments into the people who came and gathered in his home. And Paul said, I know that you bring refreshments to the hearts of the Lord's people. Imagine, and I believe that everybody in this room should be known as someone who brings refreshments. When you go to your Connect group, bring refreshment. You bring refreshments. In your relationships at home, get something from the Lord and start to bring something fresh to encourage the heart of the people in your home. Something fresh. Now, Paul, in prison, had met this guy. I think this is where the word onesie comes from. Because it's spelt onesie, Simus. But his name was Onesimus. I read this and I thought, that's a onesie. That's where they got the name onesies. But Paul writes to Philemon. And he says, I've met this guy, Onesimus. And Onesimus had been Philemon's slave. And he had run away. And happened to be in prison at the same time as Paul. It's a good time to be in prison when you've got a preacher. When you've got somebody who's going to bring eternal life to you, it kind of changes the whole focus of being in what you are in. And this man who had been obviously a criminal or somebody who wasn't right in society, locked up in prison, he'd become a Christian. Paul had led this man to Christ. And so now Paul's not referring to him as anything else but a brother. Because Paul thinks body of Christ. He thinks family of God. So he says, now this guy has become my brother. But he said, I'm going to send him back to you. Because he was obviously getting out of prison. He'd done his sentence. I'm going to send him back to you, not as a slave, but as a brother. And basically Paul says, I want you to do me a favor to receive him, to accept him as a brother and not as someone who did you wrong. And in verse, is it 12? I'm sending him back to you, who is my very heart. It actually says, refresh my heart in accepting him. Oh, verse 20, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ by accepting Onesimus back. Refresh my heart by showing love and acceptance to this person who's done wrong. And I can witness with that. If I ever hear of one of you doing something amazing for someone else, I get this refreshing on the inside of me that goes, oh, it's like I've had a drink. It's like I've got fresh energy. It's like I've got fresh motivation, which is why I think we can stir one another up in good deeds, because we can hear about what one another does to serve God's people and love them. We can go, that's amazing. Doesn't it do you good to hear about what other people do? And you can bring the refreshments, but you can also, by your works, refresh everybody else because they hear about what you're doing. I remember the other day I heard that Sarah had connected Matt to a job. Matt and Jess, this young man who really needed a job. And I thought at the time, oh, well done, Sarah. I was like thinking about doing stuff for other people. It's like that young man has now got a job he loves. And it's amazing. But it's just a little thing that goes, makes my heart sing. It makes my heart sing when I hear about what you guys do. Amen. And I believe that we can be such an encouragement just by one act to one person that the news can spread to many. And we all say, Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that each one brings refreshing in some way to other people. So Paul, he said, you, Philemon, live to refresh, but continue to love and refresh by receiving this guy. I've got a story now that I was really moved to read the other day. Some of you will remember a man called Jim Baker. He was an American evangelist, TV evangelist, very famous, had quite a very public ministry in the States. And sadly, he fell into sin and he committed fraud and he was imprisoned. I think it was for 8 years. And during that time in prison, where he'd lost his name, he'd lost a lot in his relationship with the Lord over the years, which can come back in a moment through repentance. Can I just say, God forgives like that. You might have to do a sentence on earth, but God forgives like that. Thank you, Jesus. God, as soon as somebody said, I confess my sin, cleared, the account's cleared. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you? No matter what somebody does, the moment they say sorry, clean slate. And he'd lost confidence and he was going through this sentence. He just became a prisoner with a number. And he's someone who used to be so famous, so rich, so probably adored by the crowds. Nothing. And one day, one of the guys came to him, one of the wardens came to him and said, somebody's come to see you. You might know this story. And by the way, he even lost his wife. He lost his wife. She walked away. And he said, well, I don't know who would come and see me now, but okay. And somebody called Billy Graham. Some of you may have heard the name. One of the most famous and most wonderful evangelists in our time and generation. Okay, it's the previous generation, but he's still, his fruit has just been extraordinary. He's preached to millions, and I would say millions have come to Christ through his ministry. He's even preached to presidents. He's been through a lot of years of the American politics, and he would bring the gospel, do prayer breakfasts with presidents. So this man is famous. Billy Graham is famous. He is a man who deserves a lot of honor. And yet Billy Graham went and took his time to see one prisoner, a person who should have been an example in the body of Christ as a leader, but had fallen. And Jim Baker apparently went, "What? Me? He's come to see me?" Thinking, "What now? Is he going to..." Have you ever met somebody who come to see you and they just tread it in? They just squeeze you down, they push you down. And Billy Graham, as he walked into the room, Billy Graham just went, "My brother." And he said he held me and he showed me such love and acceptance. It was like Jesus had come to visit. I felt I had a visit from Christ. In my loneliest and darkest hour, I was loved and accepted. And he said my heart was refreshed because I was loved, accepted. And in that dark place, he showed me love. He showed me acceptance. But he also showed me hope for my future and faith for my future. He told me there was a hope for my future. And so I don't think we can underestimate the little things we do for God's people. And there is a scripture that says God is not unjust. He will not forget the love that you've shown towards his people. He won't forget. He will not forget the amount of times you've opened your home, the cups of teas you've served, the refreshing that you bring just because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You are actually living in connection. And as you come and share together, you're bringing life. You're not just taking the refreshments, you're bringing. And imagine if we all brought on the refreshments. How amazing our times together would be. Paul actually spoke to guys in Romans, and he actually said, just to be in your company is like refreshing. May the Lord find you and me, and others find you and me. Just to be in our company to be refreshing. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I'm not talking about bringing on the jokes. I don't mind, you know, a bit of... I quite like one or two jokes as long as they're clean and they glorify the Lord. I'm into fun. But there's nothing like a spiritual drink that will refresh the whole man. Jesus actually speaks about the life coming from your innermost being. So the flow of life starts in your heart or your spirit. It doesn't start in your soul or your body. The world is soul and body centered. God is spirit centered. God is spirit, and he ministers to our hearts so that we can then live in a healthy soul and physical life. And so, look, there is a promise. We're going to look at it at the end, but I'm just going to say it out. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I imagine Billy Graham going out of that prison going like this. Oh, Lord, that was fantastic. I even preferred it to being on TV in front of millions. What will you do for the one is what you will do for the millions. Who you are with one is who you are with many. Who you are in a small group setting is who you are. And if you bring refreshments, we're going to have a great time. If you bring refreshments on a Sunday, not stagnant, not stale, fresh. In your relationship with the Lord, fresh, something to give. Oh, in worship, imagine how fresh the worship could be. Not, come on everybody, lift your hands. We shouldn't be having to say it. I think one of the most challenging things is to be up here watching you. It is. I sometimes look in, it's like a mirror over there, and I think, some of you when I turn around go like this. Well, we do it for Jesus, don't we? Yes, I know as a leader I need to, because scripture's all about lift your hands, sing in the spirit. But as soon as we get into a flow of singing in tongues, it goes, see, beep, beep, beep. How like? Refresh. Press the button, someone. Anyone. Get a live connection and start moving in it with revelation of Jesus. Get the page moving. Don't be on freeze. Thank you, Jesus. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's more blessed, Jesus says, to give than to receive. It's more blessed. You get a whole lot more out of church if you give. You get a whole lot more out of marriage if you give. You get a whole lot more out of our friendships if you give. So bring some refreshments. Don't go anywhere without it. Bring a cold drink to someone who's tired and weary, someone who's had a rough time. Bring it. Bring it on. Come on, church. Let's keep bringing on the refreshments. And finally, is our witness to the world. One of the biggest dangers we face is that we get disheartened and discouraged that what we have done and not seen happen yet puts us off from living to connect. And you remember in Mark chapter 1, Jesus had an incredible night of ministry in Peter's, you know, Peter's home. The whole town had come, miracles, signs, wonders, incredible thing. The whole town came out and were all healed. Everybody that was sick got healed. It was an incredible home church meeting. And the next morning, Jesus got up early to pray. And Peter and the guys, I can imagine them going, getting up saying, God, my house is the center of the universe. Everything revolves around my home. This is brilliant. I'll become famous. Jesus is in my house. Come on, God, this is fantastic. All the miracles, the signs and wonders. I wonder let's find Jesus. So they try and find Jesus, and Jesus isn't in the home anymore. He's left home because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He left home. Where's his home? It's not that he leaves us. He stays in us. But he's going somewhere. And he'd gone to pray. And Peter and John, and I can imagine a few of the others go up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Brilliant day yesterday, wasn't it, guys? This was amazing. Yesterday was incredible. I'm reaching the pinnacle of my life right now. Jesus, come on. Now come back for breakfast. There's fish. Not chips, just fish for breakfast. And they come back in to meet Jesus where he's praying. And Jesus says, no, because sometimes when you want to stay, he wants to go, and you can become stagnant if you don't go. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone who doesn't know Christ? You need to press the refresh. Say, Jesus, like you were always looking, saying this, let's go somewhere else to preach. I need to bring the good news to somebody else. I'm not holding on to what I have. I want to connect people with my Father through faith. And that button needs to keep on being hit. And it's been hit this morning by the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts. But it's like, let's not forget that Jesus was always moving out to try and find somebody who his Father had ordained for him to meet, that he could heal. An outsider, you could say, someone who's lost, not part of the believing, following crowd, that he could minister to and bring good news, because he was all about connecting. He said, I've come into this world to reconcile the world to God. And I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. And I might plead through you, be reconciled to God. That our cry, the cry of our heart is, come on guys, connect. You need Jesus Christ in your life. And so that refresh is required in all of us as God's church. Be someone who is praying and seeking God, saying, where do you want us to go? Because there's more people for me to talk to about you. And if you will live like that, I love this. David Aspinall went to, I'll finish with this. He has an amazing story. In fact, he's got quite an evangelistic gift. He is incredibly bold with his faith. And he went to and 600 guests, and it was a tuxedo, and he prayed before the evening, "I want to speak about you tonight." And they're all sitting around this table, am I right? He prayed before, "I want to talk about you tonight, Jesus, for someone who needs to hear the good news." That's what Jesus wants from us. Everywhere we go, "I want to talk to someone. I want to share my faith." Because when you're not active, you're frozen in that area. You're not even praying. Hello? Because this is where the power flows. And he met someone. He sat next to a girl. An incredible story. In fact, I'm going to ask David to come and share this story.
She asked me about what my wife does. I explained. And obviously that's a great opening. And then I obviously shared what Andrea had been through recently and started to share a little bit about her life. There's lots of similarities. Basically, her mum died. Somebody committed suicide by driving into her. She's obviously a similar thing that happened to Andrea and Kaz. And her mum actually was a believer, but it actually took her away from thinking that there is a God, that there couldn't be a God, because obviously her mum has died, and actually took her life in a different direction. But she's definitely open, she's definitely ready, and without any doubt, I was the right place at the right time. But we've got to go for it, we've got to vocalise it.
Yeah.
But for her to see somebody who in her eyes was like normal, and was just able to talk about the Lord as we do, it's just part of our life. But it was just different for her, because the people are so used to religion and so used to it just being on a Sunday rather than just being part of our day-to-day life and our relationship with God, should I say, with all of us, is just as it is with you guys. You know, it's part of my life. And it just impacted her in such a way. I really believe she'll get saved.
I love what you said, though. I think just to remind you, she said, "I can't believe in a God who would do that accident that took her mum out."
Oh yeah, thank you. Sorry, I forgot what I said.
No worries.
I explained. I said, "Look, just as you believe in a God, then there is the devil, there is the enemy, and he comes to lie, to steal, and to destroy. And his sole purpose for all of us is to stop us having a relationship with God. That's what he wants." And I think she definitely had a light bulb moment to sort of realise, actually, it's more than just one side. There's the other side, isn't there? So, yeah.
And I think bringing the reality, even the boldness to say there is a devil around a table with tuxedos, and a top-class business people who are very, very kind of stiff. Yes. You wouldn't talk about your faith in that environment. Well, you know, this is not a time to be stiff and frozen. It's a time to have a living connection that you've just got to spill out. I've noticed about my relationship with Jesus, and it's the same with you. It doesn't matter who you meet, because it's so real, it just will come out. Because what I'm living, like in your work, in your situation, there's every day there's something, a new witness about Jesus in your everyday life.
Yeah. But my best one, and I'll encourage you to do this, is ask people, if you see someone on a Saturday or a Friday, to say, "Oh, what are you doing at the weekend?" And then they tell you, and then they ask you the question, "What are you doing?" Well, so you've got they've actually asked you what you're doing. And it's amazing how many times then it surprises them. And obviously we're able to then share. So there you go.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, David. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand, shall we? What a wonderful word on refreshing. How many of you realize you need to keep pressing that button in your relationship with the Lord and the way that you relate one to another? I don't want to be the same old. Do you? I don't want to be the same old. I don't want to keep going around the mountain again and again. I'm not made for going around mountains. I'm made for overcoming and taking new ground. And so are you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, Christ in us. And Lord, we thank you. You've called us to live in you, and your words live in us. And we want to ask, Lord, for this knowledge of you, that we will know you. Just let's pray out individually. I want to know Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to remain static, Lord. I want to move on. I want the genuine relational dimension of life with you to fill me up. I come to you and drink. Because you say those who come to you and drink out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We just want to be people, Lord, who have those rivers of life flowing to refresh and to bring life into our relationships.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.